Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee, and I'm joined by Mark Davis today.
Hello. Wow, you didn't call me Quizmaster Mark.
Quizmaster Mark Davis.
Okay, well, there you go. That makes me feel a little bit better.
I'm trying to go off script a little bit.
Okay,
off the cuff. Mark, you made a really touching post on the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast Facebook group, but we want to extend deep gratitudes towards our listeners near and far, wherever you may reside, for 100,000 downloads.
Thank goodness.
Yes, and thank you. Thanks for sharing and commenting and leaving reviews. We got a couple new reviews this week.
Excellent.
Makes us feel really good. And we've just decided at this point we're just going to finish it up. This is it. So we just wanted to make one last – this isn't even a full podcast. Just one last little
last
message just saying thank you and goodbye. And, you know, we're not doing podcasts anymore either. In fact, we're going to retire – and be mutual hermits, where we live near each other, but we don't talk to each other. You know, there's a steeper connection. So thanks again. And no, I'm just kidding. Actually, we have a guest on today's show, episode 59. We are joined today by Juan, who is founder of King Entertainment, which is a company that produces trivia events as well as other entertainment services in Southwest Florida. Welcome, Juan.
How's it going, you guys?
Going great.
That sweet, sweet voice.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming in and spending the morning with us recording this podcast.
I'll tell you what, I'm super excited to be here. And for some reason, I never get nervous. And the second you start talking, my heart starts like, I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, you know, once you got 59 of these in the tank, I don't even think about it anymore. You know, it's just like I'm recording and this is going out into the wilderness, ether. And I guess 100,000 people, or 100,000, I don't want to say 100,000 people, because that would be one download per. They like try it out, and they're like, no, not for me. 100,000 failures.
One was enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've actually been talked about a couple times on this podcast.
Hopefully all good things.
All good things, yeah, absolutely. Awesome. We've had a number of...
A bit of a legendary figure in these parts.
Yeah, absolutely, is in the realm of trivia, especially a number of guests that we've had, and myself have talked many times about how you were kind of the impetus for a lot of us to start doing trivia. So,
yeah, when I started, there was no trivia anywhere around Cape Coral or whatnot. So I was like, well.
What year was that?
When 19, when I was 19 or 20. So I was working at this bar called Nemo's. And we had...
Was that in the bowling alley?
Yeah, the bowling alley.
Oh, yeah.
They used to have like this free wing Friday. So from 4 to 6, a bunch of old people would come and...
Whoa. Free wings?
Free wings.
Where the fuck was I?
I know, right? And the wings there were so good.
I've heard that they have the best wings in the area.
So they decided to stop the free wing things because people were stealing all these wings. Like, they would line their purses with plastic and start stealing the wings. So they're like, we're trying to figure out how to keep people coming and start charging for the wings. I don't know if it was like 25 cent wings or whatever it was.
Right.
So I'm sitting there, I was like, what can I do to keep everybody entertained? And I was like, trivia. Let's try this. And so then that was the beginning of doing the trivia. So that's my longest trivia. Actually, that's it. I have a lot of same groups of people who do that for like the last 12 years. They've been coming to my
trivia.
You're
still at Nemo's?
No. Oh, okay. I moved locations. Nemo's and I had a fallen out.
Oh, okay.
But that...
Fuck them.
I know, right? But the core group of the people I started trivia with moved to Hurricanes. Now we have trivia at Hurricanes from 4 to 6. And they
I've been out there a number of times also.
Yeah. Go pay for the wings at Hurricanes and steal wings from Nemo's.
I know. Well, I know, right?
No, but just
Nemo's
kidding.
Wings
Don't
are
do that.
So good, though.
Yeah.
So that's how it all started.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and, cool. So you were interested in trivia before that as a hobby?
You know, just random facts would come in, and I would always listen to stuff on the radio, and that's a lot where my trivia questions come throughout the week is just looking and paying attention to stuff. I'm like, that would be a good trivia question.
Okay, so you started about 12 years ago, you said, and now what does your trivia outlook look like?
It's booming, right? The business is booming. Before, there was no competition. Now we have more people doing it. It's great because, you know, there's so many different bars and there's so many different personalities and stuff like that. It's just so awesome that, you know, this can grow. And I love it, you know. It was so hard when I was first starting to expand because a lot of the bars were like, you're stealing customers, like doing the same, me hosting at so many different venues.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And it's really interesting.
Yeah. So it took, I want to say 6 years to train the owners.
Lots of politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that no, we're not stealing. We're just introducing.
Just like you would have a band.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I was going to say, it's very interesting because this is very similar to conversations I've had being in the music industry on whether or not you're providing entertainment or you're providing kind of background noise. You know, do people go to a bar because they want to go to that bar, or do they go to a bar because a certain band is playing?
Yeah. Are you entertainment or atmosphere?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I don't think a lot of people are necessarily going. People will go to a bar because there's trivia there, but I don't know that necessarily people would go, well, this is Juan's trivia, so I'm not going to go. Or, well, Juan's over here today, so I'm going to go to that restaurant instead of this one. You know, I don't know how people necessarily feel about that, but I don't think I've ever really been like, you know, I'm not going to go to a place to eat that I want to eat at it because someone else is doing trivia there or whatever, you know.
Right.
Yeah. It was really rough in the beginning. Like
I can see how if especially if there's nobody else doing it and you're kind of like talking to all of these venues, I can understand how they would be hesitant because it's like an untested, it's risky, basically. It's a risk. We're going to pay this money. We don't know if people are going to show up or not. And why would they show up? They're thinking, why would they show up if they can go there, you know, tomorrow instead? But yeah, the climate right now is very different. You
know, it's 100%, and it's awesome. I'm so glad. It's so much easier to walk up to new owners and stuff like that and explain what's going on. Now they're searching for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's references on shows like Family Guy and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
The Office.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, pub trivia in general, if you go and Google it, you know, you get loads and loads and loads of results of places. And, you know, whenever I go to Maine every year, there's a specific place that we go to play trivia, and they do trivia a completely different way than all of us do it.
Yeah.
They do like 6 rounds of 10 questions each. Mm-hmm. It's very, very intense and very like rapid fire. How did you end up landing on how you score and how you do all that? Was that just process of elimination?
What's funny is we have a mutual friend who pretty much built the concept of the trivia. It was Tom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Tom, I've been hanging out at Tom's shop for ever. I love that guy.
He's Tom Watts.
Yeah.
Oh, Tom. Tom from Cool Comics and Games in Cape Coral.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He's a regular at my Thursday night trivia at number 3.
So we're sitting there when I was talking about it and I was telling him the idea of trivia. I've never hosted any sort of trivia event. I'm trying to figure out the best manner to do it. And like at the time, Nemo's was a bunch of, it's an older crowd, right? So I had to make it simple so it's just not too difficult to catch on.
Right.
Yeah. So him and I sat down and we figured out the format and then we just ran with it. And I've been using that same format ever since. And
cool. Can you describe the format a little bit?
So it depends on the place, but generally we do 3 rounds of 5 questions apiece. Mm-hmm. On question 10, you can wager 1 through 10 points. If you answer correctly, you gain those points. If you answer incorrectly, you lose them.
And okay, so like a midway wager.
Yeah. And then on 15s, 1 through 20. Mm-hmm. So it just makes it fun and exciting, and even if you're out of it, you can get back in it.
Yeah.
So like if you ask the last question and every single team bets 20 and got it wrong, but you're the one team who was behind and got it right, changes the whole game.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it gives a little boost midway. I'm pretty sure I've played that format at 1025 with Dallas.
Yes.
Who, listeners, you might remember from a couple episodes of the podcast.
He was supposed to be here today, but he ended up having something else he had to do, unfortunately.
Yep,
but we were hoping to have the whole King Media group here.
I know, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll get, I mean, there's several, though. But yeah, how many, like, what's the scale of your organization? How many venues do you take care of? And you've got quite a few people.
Right? 9 employees, and we just keep on growing right now. So we just picked up Square One in Fort Myers, Mr. and Mrs. Krabs, Sanibel Fish House, Hurricanes, Cascades, Stevie Tomatoes, Brooks, 1025, Big Ten, Overtime.
Those are all great restaurants too.
Yes.
So go check them out. We're going to post links to Juan's organization and some of his dates that you can check out. And we'll talk about a little bit more in detail about some dates that you got coming up. But thanks again for joining us on the podcast. Can't wait to get into some trivia with you.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Yeah. And let's go ahead and get into our weekly wrap up though. Okay, first up on Monday at the Palace for No Nonsense Trivia Challenge 192 is Pure Destruction by Mark's team, Spunk in the Trunk. 111 points.
Hi.
That's our number 5 or number 6 highest score ever that night. And you just you came in on a whim, on a GD whim.
My girlfriend came to town. We were supposed to go get tacos. But we knew we wanted to hang out with Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to come with us. And then I was like, you know what? It's Monday. Why don't we go to trivia?
Yeah.
And it just so happened that the food truck had tacos.
Ah.
So they actually had tachos.
Yes.
Which Shaney is a Eat huge bold fan
is of. Is the name of that food truck, by the way.
Yeah. And they were delicious. Mm-hmm. And they have these tot nachos. So we went and just had kind of a good night.
Congratulations on that victory on Monday night at the Palace. On Tuesday at Gather, it was the Tarpon Fat Cats cinching the victory with 70 points. We actually had some cheating accusations in the first round. Oof. One of the teams performed pretty well, you know, and I didn't want to be, you know, judgmental or stereotypical. They were kind of outside of my, you know, viewing distance. So I went through just like normal and announced the victors. And the other teams were like, that was a lot of points for them. Like, you know, they had never been there before, but they were like, I don't know. And I was like, well, did you see them looking at their phones at all? And they said no. And I said, okay, well, you let me know if you see them, point it out to me. And sure enough, in the first question of the second round, got a tap on my shoulder. They're on their phones. They're on their phones. So I go look, and sure enough, they're on their phone. So I go talk to them, and I'm like, guys, you know, if you're going to play, you know, it's we're playing for trivia. We're like, playing for gift cards. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are stakes. You know, we just ask if you're going to play that you stay off your phones. And the second question, they were back on their phones again. So
jeez.
I basically just DQ'd them. There was like a soft like DQ. Like they didn't turn in their answer sheets, but they were, you know, they're free to be on their phones and stuff like that. But they for them to have won the first one by so far and then give up entirely. To me, I think that's
absolutely
smells funny. You know what I'm saying? But congratulations to the Tarpon Fat Cats on their victory that night with 70 points. At Bury Me Brewing Company on Wednesday night, it was House Snow that won with 78 points. The Kid Rock fan club almost got there with 75 points. And a newer team that's been coming out, the Lone Rangers, had a strong start but lost their positioning on the final wager question that night. Very sad, but good luck to them next time. And then on Thursday, at number three, the Moist and the Furious Tokyo Drip won with 77 points, bringing their total number of no-nonsense trivia victories to 19. Now they're almost tied with the Squeaky Chairs, who are the current winningest team with 20 wins to their name. Mark, how did your teams do at Trivia on Wednesday?
They did well. Jamie's team, Lady and the Tramp Stamp, finally were able to close it out.
Simple but efficient.
Absolutely, with 49 points. So they had, I think they swept. I think they won every round pretty handily.
Only 49 points, though, huh?
Well, yeah, they had the last question wrong. So that would have done them a little bit of good. But
difficult week for both of us this week.
Indeed.
I had some harder questions this week. Juan, you were at the trivia last night. What do you think?
Yeah, great questions, none of them which I knew, except for one, which was the Tenacious D one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's funny because, you know, being as busy as you are working six nights a week in multiple venues or whatever, you had never gotten a chance to see my trivia until a couple weeks ago when you were able to come for the first round. And even I was nervous. I was like, oh, Juan's here.
Oh, stop it. Oh. Stop it.
I was like, the guy who like taught me, like the guy who got me into trivia is here. Now I'm like the grasshopper teaching the teacher.
No, your trivia was super fun. And I liked that venue so much.
Yeah.
And the bartenders there are so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice guys. This is definitely a crown jewel here.
If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia live in the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, tonight, Monday, August 19th at 7 p.m. we're at Palace Pub and Wine Bar located in Cape Coral, Florida. The categories for the quiz will include Pokemon, Letterkenny, dog breeds, astronomy, U.S. presidents, emo music, Herman's Head, the films of Justin Long, and more. The final question category will be nautical terminology selected by last week's biggest learners, Team Turkey. Tuesday, August 20th, we'll be back at Gather in Cape Coral for trivia. That one also starts at 7 p.m. Categories for the quiz will include Netflix, football, art history, classic country cooking, gems, state capitals, ice cream flavors, and more. Final wager question category for that night will be The Office, selected by Dumb and Dumber, formerly The Hot Ladies. They started off the night as The Hot Ladies, and then as trivia went on, they changed their name to Dumb and Dumber. So
it
they
seems like at that point you'd want to focus more on being hot. You don't want to necessarily call yourself stupid.
I give them credit, you know, for the humility aspect. Yeah, I really do give them credit for that. Wednesday, August 21st, 2019, will be at Bury Me Brewing Company at 7 p.m. The categories that night will include Saturday Night Live, Norse Mythology, Lord of the Rings, Beekeeping, Rick and Morty, Letterkenny, 90s Hip Hop, and more.
Letterkenny at another venue.
So many. Yeah, I'll tell you, usually I try to limit it, but you know.
I remember when I first started watching Letterkenny, when there were two seasons available, I was hounding you to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Players House Snow actually told me that they're fans of the because I mentioned it at my trivia. Because they heard it on the podcast, and they were like, we watch it because, you know, you suggested it. And I was like, I don't even really like it that much. But now I feel like compelled to go back and check it out again.
It's amazing. Yeah. I've tried telling you a million times.
I'll try to fold it in. 90s hip hop also buried me Brewing Company that night. The final no-nonsense wager question will be Edgar Allan Poe, selected by She-Ra and the Princess of Power. Afterwards that night, you can check out Trivia at Nice Guys Pizza, hosted by Mark Davis, which starts at 9 p.m. in the Cape. And then on Thursday, August 22nd, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar at 7:30 p.m. The Meat Cottage will join us there. Categories for the quiz will enjoy marine biology, classic cars, songs of the 80s, Ren and Stimpy, King of the Hill, The Princess Bride, Irish lore, cosmetology, cytogenetics, and more. The final category that evening will again be The Office. So we got Office final questions on Tuesdays and Thursdays nights this week. That one selected by Really Bad at Picking Names. By the way, if you're listening and you're really bad at picking trivia team names, check out our episode with Jamie, where he explains his methodology to come up with a good team name any place, anywhere. That would be episode 52, Gingerpalooza.
Just two things real quick. Mm-hmm. I will not be running trivia this week at Nice Guys.
Oh, okay.
I will be on vacation in Maine.
Okay.
Kristen Herrmann.
Yes.
We'll be running trivia.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
How beautiful is that?
That's great.
Yeah, very, very exciting. Also, how much do you push the fact that you tell the upcoming weeks
at
your trivia?
Right. So I slipped up in my promotion game a little bit over the last couple weeks, and I did not make Facebook posts that had the categories. And we had the week where we recorded on a Thursday, and I hadn't done the number 3 trivia. And I actually got complaints from my players that they did not have some of the categories ahead of time to do some studying. So I know there's at least a few teams that look at the categories and try to. Even Elise last night, she said, I saw the categories, and I tried to think of the questions that you would ask about each of these. And that is like a whole nother level of metagaming.
We definitely went back on our way to trivia, mm-hmm. and I went back and listened to what some of the categories were going to be,
yeah.
and studied up. That's how we knew the question about the Air Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we knew. Ah. There were a couple different questions that I went back and...
Look at that. So hard work pays off.
Listening to the podcast, you should let them know. Listen to the podcast or on Facebook or whatever. Definitely, definitely, definitely gives you a huge leg up.
Yeah.
So you might want to let people know that, because if you have a big advantage as opposed to just coming off the street.
Oh, yeah.
If you've heard the podcast or... If you
don't skip ahead these first 20 minutes where we go over all this stuff. And absolutely. I know this is a very lengthy weekly wrap up and intro, but I'm sorry, I have to let you know about this other event that we have coming up Saturday, August 31st. Our next fully themed trivia event, Quizguardium Triviosa, Harry Potter trivia. That is on August 31st. I said it was on August 24th. Last week. Ooh. It's actually on the 31st. So Gotcha. Change your calendars. Don't just mark them. Change them. I know you marked them last week. We will be testing your knowledge of trivia about the wizarding world, including notable witches and wizards from the Potterverse, magical creatures, Hogwarts School, Quidditch, the books, the movies, the Potter fandom in general. Please join us August 31st at 6 p.m. at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida for Quizguardium Triviosa. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us.
Won't you? So I have two questions for you before we take a break and get to the first round. Question number one, do you have any favorite team names you've heard over the years?
A couple fun ones. The one that my friends always use when they're trying to jab at me is, I wish this microphone was a penis.
I've gotten that before.
Yeah. And then that's just the only one that really stands out, because they just do that. And I have to say it on the microphone in front of everybody, and then... it's so fun and embarrassing. You just have to own it at that point.
Yeah, I would say it aggressively, like, I wish this microphone was a penis! I wish it!
Yeah.
And how do you feel about cell phones? This is a big thing that Lee and I always go back and forth on.
Yeah.
How do you feel about cell phones at your trivia?
That's something I've been fighting with on how to handle that I think I do a good job because I just smile and I nudge them and be like, hey, I know you want to be on your cell phone. Just wait until after I grab your slips, because the way I do trivia, I just ask one question and I come around and pick up the slips. So I get to talk to each team individually every time I come around, because really fun. How do you call it? Making everyone a family.
You know
what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So good relationship building. So, but if they're on their phones before I grab the slips, I'll keep on reminding them, hey, just wait until after. Because sometimes I'll grab the slips and they'll go straight to their phone to Google the answer because they can't wait. Yeah. I'm like, just wait.
Yeah, that foreplay is so strong.
Foreplay is everything. Just let it happen.
Yeah.
So, like, the teams that I know, like, that teams that are cheating or whatnot, I'll just do what you did. Just write them off. Like, hey, you guys, you just got to stop, you know, and just be a little firm with them. But you can't not let them have their cell phones. But I was looking up and Googling lock boxes for cell phones. And I was talking to a couple venues and be like, hey, we get them a lock box. They put their cell phones in. It's a 15-minute timer for, like, the rounds. And if they do that, let's just say they'll get $3 shots, or they save money, or like 5% off their bar tab.
That is very interesting.
So the teams that choose to do that
get a bump, you get an incentive.
A trivia incentive. Like, they're not gonna get extra points,
right?
But they'll get discounts.
Yeah,
and then that way, you know, the bar is gonna generate more revenue because they're gonna be spending more money. We're not gonna have as many arguments, right?
Right.
About the phones.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah.
How much did that make sense money wise?
Well, like, for me to buy them, or what are you talking about?
For the venue to buy them, or what was your...
I mean, like, we can get boxes and, like, just have those little locks, so I don't think they would be very expensive.
Yeah, and I think the venues are probably small enough that if you just say, this is the timer, it doesn't have to be integrated into the actual lockbox system. You could have, like, a bag or something, you know, a static bag or something like
that. Something along those lines. Yeah. And you know what?
It's very affordable.
It's good for... We're so addicted to these phones. It'd be so good to just get off of them. For like a round at a time.
Yeah, yeah. It's 20 minutes.
It's, yeah, you know? Exactly. It's just talk minutes. To your friends, think. Like I always say, eat, drink, think. Eat, drink, think. So let's just relax and do that kind of stuff. So that's why I think in the coming months, you'll start seeing that a lot of our trivias will have these boxes and stuff. And then, you know, that's what you'll get. And then they'll eliminate the problems.
Great. Interesting.
All right. We're going to take a little break.
Lots of good stuff. I'm so excited.
Yeah, yeah. And then we're going to get into round one of trivia with Juan from King Entertainment. Said you have several good questions. Let's hear the first one.
I do. Here's your first question.
I hope it's good.
I know, right?
State Farm Arena, formerly Phillips Arena, is the home to what NBA basketball team? And you look disgusted.
I'm not, you know my sport. Mark knows my sports knowledge is not good. Juan, I'm sorry, man. I hope you know something. Do you know State Farm Arena? And formerly Phillips Arena is home to what NBA basketball team?
Yes.
So I'm trying to think. I'm so bad at this, at sports stuff. So I'm just thinking of basketball players who do State Farm commercials.
Yeah.
And Chris Paul. So Chris Paul was Houston Rockets. So maybe the Rockets. I don't know.
Houston. Now, you asked Mark a question a couple of weeks ago about the insurance capital of the world, didn't you?
I did.
And State Farm is an insurance. I don't.
It was Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I was going to guess Connecticut. No. But now it just seems like I just cheated or something.
That's easy for me to remember because I used to actually have the Hartford, which was an insurance company. So,
but your willingness to tell me that leads me to believe it's not a Connecticut NBA team.
There is no Connecticut NBA team. That's why I was so free to tell you.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say the Hartford Hornets, just based on the alliteration there. I know they're not. No, the Hornets are no longer, right? Or no.
They are.
They were in New Orleans, and then they put back in Charlotte, right?
Charlotte, correct, yeah.
Okay.
See, that's why it's key when you have your teams, to have a sports guy, a science guy.
Absolutely.
You get acquiesce.
All of the little archetypes.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Acquiesce. This guy. I like it.
I got a words question coming up for you guys, so we'll get back to that. But the Houston Rockets, I know nothing, so I'm not going to fight for any other team.
That's the only thing that like makes sense to me, but I'm probably going to be completely wrong and get yelled at later.
That is a very, very good guess. I really like where you went with that, but the correct answer is the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh.
The okay. Atlanta Hawks.
There's no way I would.
The ATL.
I've been to Atlanta a couple times, and I'm sure I've driven by this stadium.
That's why I was kind of wondering if you know it.
Yep. And I probably said, oh, wow. Boys to Men are reuniting playing here. How cool. All right. I got a, this is a vocabulary question for you guys. In 19th century Britain, what, if you were to use the term bone shaker, what would you be referring to in 19th century Britain?
I know this.
Oh. Wow.
This just happens to be one of those things that.
It sounds cool.
It does sound really cool.
You want to know what it is. Juan, any ideas? Any
no
guesses?
Idea whatsoever. No idea. But it's probably, I'll never forget it now that we're asking it here.
Like, well, so here, hold on. There's also a velocipede would be the, or a velocipede would be another name for it. Does that help you at all as a hint?
No. No, it does not.
Well, I know that if you were to take one of these around, you'd use a velodrome, velocipede. Velodromes are used for bicycle races.
Mm-hmm.
Bone shakers, the term was used because the wheels were so ancient, there was no suspension that when you
rode down those cobblestone streets. Like, I can feel my bones shaking.
That makes perfect sense, huh?
Yeah, so I remember I was in a bike
gang. It'll shake your bones.
You were in a bike gang?
Well, it was a joke bicycle gang with some friends of mine. And what was my friend Lexi, actually, we call ourselves the Bone Shakers. and my friend Lexi got a little license plate you can get for your bike. And had it say bone shaker. It's just one of those things that that I just happen to know. So I'm going to say bicycle.
That's right. It is bicycle. Right.
That is awesome. Bone shakers. That's
and you had all that information. This man did not look at his phone once while he was explaining that. That's very beautiful and eloquent, Mark.
Yeah. I love bikes. I played bike polo for a long time. Mm-hmm. I used to love working on bikes and stuff. I mean, I think it's a very beautiful thing how simple the design is.
Yeah.
You know, and how much quicker it gets you places than walking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bike polo?
Bike polo, yeah. That's like regular polo, but on bicycles and very dangerous.
Oh, sounds like a good time.
It's an international sport now. I mean,
it is huge.
They have tournaments in the United States. People come from, even in Florida, I know people travel from like Puerto Rico and stuff up for it, and we have some friends that play.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
Look up some YouTube vids. We'll post a link in the show notes.
If you live locally, there's a Fort Myers chapter of people that are. It's it used to be huge, and then it died down a little bit. And I know they want to play around here. So if you're interested in playing,
yep.
I know Bobby Feldman had a lot to do with it, and some other people around here. Yep. But
and people in Tallahassee still play. I know. So if you're in Tallahassee, there's a Tallahassee chapter.
Yeah.
Juan, you have a very interesting approach to your trivia. Now, with No Nonsense, we gauge the categories for the following week in the third round, and try to figure out what people want questions about. But you actually do something that stand-up comedian Dave Chappelle does basically to practice, which is just read the room.
Yeah.
And come up with questions on the fly.
Yeah, I come up with questions on the fly when I'm there. So it just depends on who's there, what's going on. If I start asking questions that are too hard, I dial it back because I want to keep everybody engaged. And I love that look in people's eyes when they're like, I should know this answer. And then they'll start discussing. So I always ask questions like, I should know this.
Yes.
And then they don't. And then I tell them, they're like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And then they get that reaction. I'm like, gotcha.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. I call it like the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
You want to get that information that's right on the tip of their tongue.
So so it's fun. And it makes them enjoy it. I feel like that's what they come for is that feeling. It's like, I should know this answer. And then they'll look up in the sky like it's going to tell them.
Yeah. You know? I think that's an incredible skill to have, to be able to build a quiz night on the fly.
Yeah, it's a lot of years of practice, that's for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. I used to have like 30 or 40 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look through it and all that kind of stuff, and I just learn throughout time. It's just better to do it this way and that way. And if it's more sports, I'll ask sports questions or general knowledge.
Plus, I imagine if you do it for so long, a lot of those questions become very second nature and intuitive, and you can pull them very quickly.
Yes.
You know, because, and if, let's say you've been doing it for 12 years, even if you only recycle one question per year, you've still thought about it 12 times.
Yes.
So it's very deep-seated, and that's good.
100%. Speaking of questions, it's my turn.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
What two South American countries is part of OPEC?
Mm. This is the oil organization.
I just asked this question.
What?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, gosh.
Thank the Lord.
I don't know if I remember.
Oh, no.
That happens all the time, though, right?
Is so I remember, I think I remember one of them is Venezuela.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm inclined to say Ecuador and Venezuela.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not positive. So they've got to be two oil-producing countries.
Brazil is huge, just by land area.
But do they have Earl?
That's what I'm saying. By land area, it takes up so much of a percentage of South America that I think it would be a worthy guess just because there's a likelihood. But, I mean, my geography sucks as well. I suck at everything, by the way. But trivia-wise. But,
you're sometimes good at pop culture.
Yeah.
You're great at video games.
I take it back. I'm all right. But geography, South American geography, not my strongest suit. So is Ecuador is close to Venezuela?
I think so.
So, all right. I would say either of those two. I don't know if I've ever heard of like Argentinian oil. Mm. Maybe some kind of like nut or seed oil from Argentina, but not petroleum. Nobody involved in OPEC.
Nut oil.
Hey now. What do you think?
I'm feeling like it's Ecuador and Venezuela.
I'm going to trust your judgment. You just asked this question a couple weeks ago.
I'm just going to hope that I have a good enough memory.
You, sir, are correct.
Oh. Thank Christ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't. How fucking crazy is it that I just asked that question?
The devil was working through me trying to say Brazil.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Here is your second question.
Okay.
Based on U.S. box office,
mm-hmm.
who is the highest grossing star of 2019 so far? Based on U.S. box office, who is the highest grossing star of 2019 so far?
I have an idea, and it's...
Let's say it at the same time.
All right, three?
Yep.
One, two, three.
The Rock. Samuel Jackson.
Oh. No, we're both... I think The Rock. Yeah. Because he does, like, 1,000 movies a day.
Mm-hmm. So does Samuel Jackson, though.
And is he really?
I actually heard a story on the radio a couple months ago about how Samuel Jackson was slated to have a huge year.
Oh.
Because he had all these franchises that he was appearing in, like Avengers Endgame... Captain Marvel, what else? I mean, The Rock has, you know, all those big movies too. Did the Jumanji movie come out this year? That was
out this year though.
Yeah, right? And you said as of right now.
As of right now,
so far.
So what has The Rock had this year?
Oh God, I feel like he comes out with a different movie a week. Right now, then Hobbs and Shaw, right?
Yeah. Okay, okay, good. Okay.
That so Fast and Furious, mm-hmm. and that franchise always makes $1 billion.
But did it make more than Captain Marvel? I mean, Disney movies capture the top five, I think, highest grossing movies of the year right now.
But I think what he's talking about, actors pay.
Mm-hmm.
So Samuel L. Jackson already has a 10-year movie deal or whatever, 10 movies.
Right. So Disney is putting him in movies that aren't even Marvel because he's part of the family.
The amount of money he made. He already made it, right? Because he already signed the deal?
I don't know. I mean, I think they get royalties based on ticket sales. So
we're probably both completely wrong.
No, well, I feel like one of us is right. I don't know why, but it's not. Keanu Reeves had a good year, but I don't think it's him. I think it's either The Rock or Samuel Jackson.
Who is the highest grossing star of 2019 so far? And I don't know exactly if it's talking about the movies have grossed the most or they have grossed the most.
But it's not like an influencer. It's a movie star. You're talking about Hollywood movies. Yeah. Okay.
Well, The Rock has all those TV shows, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ballers on
But we're talking about U.S. box office. We're talking about
ticket sales. So this is ticket sales, I think.
Yeah, it says box office of the movies in which the stars had a leading role. So I think it's the amount of money that the movies made.
This is a really good question. Like, if you were at trivia, everybody would be debating saying different names and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
No one got this right, by the way.
Mm. Now I'm worried. I'm worried.
I will say you guys are not... You guys should not be led astray. I'm just telling you that, interestingly, because you were saying a lot of people would argue about it, mm-hmm. they certainly did.
Yeah.
And it was one of those where I gave the answer and everybody was like, there was at least one person on every team going, I told you.
All right, I gotcha.
Maybe we should slow down a little bit and consider a third. you know, just for the sake of argument. I mean, we got some time here.
Male, female? Can we get a hint? 50-50? Can I phone a friend?
It's male.
Male. All right.
I'll give you a hint because I like you, Juan.
Yes. Mark Wahlberg?
Not more than... Samuel Jackson. I mean, all right. I know he's been in some other stuff besides Avengers stuff this year. Shaft? Nobody saw that, though.
Nobody saw that. Oh, God.
The Shaft remake that they didn't even bother to name something other than just Shaft.
Right.
You know, they're just like, it's been so long, nobody even remembers the last one. Just call it Shaft.
Call it Reshafted.
Yeah.
Call it Shaft something.
Shaft 2. There's way too many remakes in Hollywood now, anyways.
Mm-hmm. What else has he been in?
I just remember... Him.
The Kingsman? Is he in that?
I don't know.
No. Yes.
He should be.
That's the first one, though, not the second.
Oh, okay.
And the second one came out last year,
so
that wouldn't be around.
Yeah.
I just
all
think
right, that... rate your confidence on The Rock versus Samuel Jackson.
I'm 100% Rock. Because he was like the highest grossing movie star of 2018, right?
Yeah.
So
I would rate my own confidence about Samuel Jackson at probably an 80%, 70%. So let's go with The Rock.
All right.
If you feel strong about it.
All right.
Lee, if only your confidence was 100%, it was Samuel L. Jackson.
Remember
he was in Endgame, which is now the biggest, highest grossing movie of all time.
Yep.
In addition to Far From Home, in addition to Captain Marvel, in addition to all those other movies in which he plays Nick Fury.
That one franchise got him...
I'm sure that Shaft and all that stuff kind of helped a little bit.
He's in a lot. I mean, we're not doing him credit right now, but he's been in a lot. And Juan, don't feel bad about that. I totally deserve that. I've done that so many times on this podcast with our guests. Like they say the right answer, and I'm like, no, it's Brazil.
Yeah.
That's why I backed off. That's exactly why I backed off. But sometimes I guess I should have held a little firmer ground there. Well, that's the
swing
way the cookie crumbles.
My bad.
It's all good. It's all good. Let's see here. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. Now, nobody got this right at my trivia, and I was shocked. I think you guys, if you're old trivia heads, you'll know this. What famous boxing referee?
Those are famous last words, by the way. Whenever he says, you got this.
You got that. I never got it.
I will be shocked if you guys don't
You're
know
shocked
this.
That no one else got it.
I was shocked. You're right. Maybe my expectations are too high.
Maybe.
What famous boxing referee was known for the catchphrase, let's get it on? And became a TV judge after retirement. You might also recognize him from MTV's Celebrity Deathmatch, the Claymation show.
Oh, my God. I can see the face.
Let's get it on!
I can definitely see the face. I do not know the name. There's no way.
I want to say his first name is Miles.
Really? Whatever you say, I'm going to go with, because I can see the face. I remember that show, by the way. It was an awesome show.
Yeah, at first I was hoping he was going to bring up Michael Buffer.
Yeah.
Because I heard boxing and
that was
every
a
other
lot
word,
of people's answers.
I figured.
Which gave me an opportunity
for,
to say,
let's get ready to rumble.
Yep. If you said Michael Buffer, you are incorrect. And then everyone's like, ah.
Yep.
I love that.
It's a fun game to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a secondary game that us quizmasters play with our
100%
players.
Mm-hmm.
I know the guy, and I picture he's a little guy. And I think his name is Miles something. I remember watching a bit of boxing when I was a kid because my dad liked boxing. And, you know, that was the heyday of, like, pay-per-view events, HBO boxing, etc.
Those Tyson events that last 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Spend,
if that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's been $80.
$100.
Yeah, now people do that for MMA.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the MMA ticket, man.
So anytime you say Miles, Morales just comes out of my mouth. I'm just saying, it's ruined. He's ruined the name for me.
It's in my dark place.
I found an interesting term for like something like that when you say something and something immediately comes to mind that's trivia related. It's like a Pavlovian response. So it's a Pavlov, a trivia Pavlov. So if I say, theoretical physicist, and you think Einstein, it's Pavlov.
It
you know,
happens.
Like just like a, just like the dog would salivate at the sound of the bell. You know, I'd love to do a little segment on that in the future.
Yeah.
We should talk about.
I see. My Pavlov is Teller, Miles Teller,
The actor.
Am I right with Miles?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
well, then I'm not going to spend another minute of my time.
It's so sad, though, because you're like one letter off.
Really?
If you change Miles to another name that's a letter different, you'd have one of the names right, his first name. So you got the right, you're in the right area in your mind palace, but the little ink on the folder title is a little smudged.
A little smudged.
You're like, what is it, Miles? Is that what this name is? Miles?
It's not Niles, is it?
No, it's not Niles.
What is it?
Mills Lane. Judge Mills Lane. Lane. Let's get it on. It was his catchphrase.
Mills Lane. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Juan, do we have another question?
I asked this at my trivia at overtime, and one team answered correctly.
Hmm.
So, which planet claims the title Planet of Dreams?
Planet of Dreams. The god of dreams is Morpheus, mm-hmm. right?
That's where we get morphine from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, it's not Mercury.
That doesn't sound, well, it kind of sounds like Morpheus in a little bit. Just in a little way. They start with M.
But Mercury being the messenger god.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's Earth.
Nope.
Could be Venus. Beauty. I'm trying to think of a... Okay. So, Mars
mm-hmm.
is war.
Right.
Mercury, messenger. Venus, beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn is just like...
Time?
Well, one of them...
Saturn is named after Kronos.
Saturn, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is like the father of Zeus.
Right.
That's why I was thinking like mm-hmm. the god of gods.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Jupiter,
raised eyebrow.
So there's Jupiter, just served us. Uranus.
Mm-hmm. Uranus is...
The god of butts.
That's what everyone says.
The god of poop shoots.
I wrote down Uranus.
Uranus Poseidon?
Yeah, I think you're right.
All
right,
so not...
Wait a minute, Neptune.
Oh, well, shit. Uranus, who's Uranus? Oh, man. Dreams.
See, that's why I like these questions.
Yeah, this is a great question, Juan. I feel like, I don't want to talk us out of the correct answer or anything, but I just feel like if it was Uranus, I would recognize that because I was reading about
We've both had a lot of Uranus questions recently. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
My gut is telling me Neptune.
The sea. The sea god.
What was it? The
god of dreams.
Planet of dreams.
The planet of dreams. More than Jupiter? Now, Jupiter, too, Jupiter, I think, was a early discovery in terms of the planets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it be poetic? It's like you just dreamed of some other distance, you know, planet, and then we see it. We actually see it, you know? It's like one of the first, I don't know, three or four. Is it Pluto?
No.
Pluto's not even a planet.
Not right now.
Yes or no?
It's a microplanet now,
Y/N.
Yeah.
Will you plane it with me? Yeah. Yes or no?
It's as liquid as, like, you know, philosophical beliefs. Do you believe that Pluto is a planet or do you not?
Do you believe that Pluto's a planet?
So you want to say Neptune?
Yeah, that's kind of where my gut's going.
Are you guys ready?
I don't know. I think he wants Jupiter.
No, because then I'll just get the sympathy of being walked out of the correct answer twice. So let's just go with Neptune. I think it's Jupiter, but I don't know that it's not Neptune. But it just seems to me that if we're thinking like, oh, Neptune, god of the sea, you know. Now, a lot of these gods...
You can do what you want to do.
A lot of these gods had several domains. They weren't just like... Neptune was not just the god of the sea. It was like the god of like jealousy and shit like that. Or like facet of the human psyche. But so it's totally possible that...
Let you decide.
No. We're going Neptune, unless rate your confidence.
All right, you just said we're going Neptune. We're going to go Neptune.
That is correct.
Oh,
Neptune.
Nice.
And one of the reasons why I like this question, it's not the first thing that comes up when you hit Google. So like for the big questions, this was my big question. And
yeah.
I do that on purpose so that for you to find the answers. If you're trying to cheat, you have to scroll and scroll and scroll. And then I'm like, gotcha.
Yep.
Perfect.
Mm, yeah. That's good to keep them on the phone longer if they're going to do that.
Right, yeah. I know.
It's kind of like a locks on doors only keep honest people out, you know? Mm-hmm. Like if they're going to cheat, they're going to find a way to cheat, but that's a good method to get them to pull, you know.
Exactly. Or like when they have those watches and you'd say, okay, Google to the watch, and then it'll come up, they'll always get the wrong answer. So I try for like the bigger wager questions to make sure that it's not like one of the first things that come up. And then when you catch them cheating, you give them that dad eyes.
All right.
It's like, I know.
I'm disappointed in you.
All right. Let's take a short break and then we'll come back. We'll come back with round number two.
So we got a new segment that we're going to do. It's called No Notes. It is emails, messages that we get that don't really fit into corrections or rate my question categories. But I do have a little theme. Just follow my lead here, Mark, okay?
Okay.
No, 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 no notes. Right?
Okay.
That we'll never forget it.
Yeah, that's
we'll never confuse it with another one. We just have to remember to change the words.
Okay.
Yeah, we can workshop that a little bit in the future too. But for this episode, that is the No Notes theme. This is the new No Notes segment.
It works for me.
So if you want to write us a no note, nonsense@gmail.com. Wait, no, I fucked that up. nonsensetrivia@gmail.com.
There we go. Yeah, okay.
All right. So we got a message from Blair. Blair writes, I recently found your podcast because I am a trivia host in Houston, Texas.
Oh, nice.
Shout out to the Rockets.
Yes.
I am a trivia host in Houston, Texas, and I can report that trivia is alive and well here. We have three national trivia networks, two live, one digital. You know, they have the, I guess it's like BuzzTime or something like that. None of them entertain me as much as the live trivia games written by local hosts, of which there are at least four. But hopefully once I finish building my trivia empire, that number will be 7.
Mm.
I guess that means she's got 3 on the docket here. Oh, yeah, they're listed down here. I love local created games because there's obviously more culture and community between the host and the players, which is one of the reasons why I love listening to you guys support your players in your podcast. Currently, I'm running 3 games at Little Dipper Lounge, Pink Elephant Bar, and Astral Brewing.
I love those bar names, though.
Yeah, those are great names, right? I really enjoy hearing both of you talk about what it is like to be a host and the methods you use. I just got done listening to the podcast where Lee said it was librarian's work. Perhaps that's why I'm in a librarian science grad program as well. I have a quick question. How many women trivia hosts do you know who do what you do, create a local game? Thanks for all the work you do. I know it takes a lot of hustle. Blair at Hi Blair Nation. That is her Twitter handle. Hi Blair Nation.
Yeah. So, I know locally, the first two that come to mind for, well, the only one that comes to mind for me that I know of is Mad Mel, who runs World of Beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's funny because we just mentioned Kristen Herman.
Right.
Making her Fletcher's debut. Fletcher's wife will be running it on Monday. But Juan, you have a couple that work for you, don't you?
Yeah. Corky, she does, she does 5 places. Where she does trivia at is Brooks on Wednesday.
Okay.
And she's awesome. And then Heather does music trivia at Stevie's on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, music trivia every week.
Music trivia every week. I love music trivia.
At Stevie Tomatoes?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting music trivia. It is, they play a song, and then you have to write down, I don't know if this is still the thing, you have to write down the band, the song title, and the year it came out.
Yes, I did the 90s like music at 10:25. 5
points for each one or whatever, or something like that.
Yep. So if you get all 3, then you get bonus points if you're all right.
That's awesome.
I used to play it every once in a while whenever I got a chance. Wednesday was always a bad night for me and still is, but whenever I could get there, I would. It's a lot of fun.
So that was Corky and Heather, you said?
Yeah. They're great. Two amazing individuals. All about personality. You can't teach personality. And that's one of the things that you look for when you're
it's
doing
it. It's developed. It's developed internally. And then there's also Sheena Reagan over at Big Blue. I know she does the trivia.
Oh, okay.
She's a very hilarious stand-up comedian, too. Check her out online, Sheena Reagan. Thanks for the lovely note, Blair. If you find yourself in Houston, go see her quiz at Little Dipper Lounge, the Pink Elephant Bar, and Astral Brewing. And again, if you want to write us a no note in the future, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com.
Sounds beautiful.
All right. You guys ready to get into round 2?
Yep.
Ready as I'm ever going to be.
Okay. Are you familiar with any Secret Service nicknames? What do you think about that category?
Secret Service nicknames. Mm-hmm. I know like one or two maybe for presidents.
Well, I tried to go with like a big one here. So to John F. Kennedy's Lancer, what was Jacqueline Kennedy's Secret Service nickname?
Oh, I do not know this.
I had to look at my eye, like trying to go through all this trivia baggage that I had.
We say going to your dark place.
Yeah, the dark place.
12 years of doing trivia.
Yep. I've actually been reading up too on this dark place stuff. So there's a method of memory retention called the memory palace. I know that's a podcast as well.
I saw that on like Sherlock Holmes, right?
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it uses a Greek method called the method of Loci to place like L-O-K-I? Objects. L-O-C-I. Short for location, loci, I guess, is what it would be.
Okay.
but yeah, basically what you do is you imagine a familiar area, you know, such as like a room, and then you apply things to the visual objects in that area. So, for example, if I wanted to learn the presidents from scratch, we're coming in this room right here. I have a poster of the Justice League on the wall. I would say the first Justice League member in that poster is the Atom. So I'm going to imagine George Washington as the Atom in that picture every time I think about that picture. The second one is Hawkman. And so I will imagine John Adams of that, so on and so forth, so that when I am away from this picture, I can think about the picture, and you think about who is, like, you know, you build like a little visual story in the room.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's called the Memory Palace. So I've been thinking about trying to use this to do some chemistry, periodic table memorization, okay. some capitals, the stuff that I'm really lacking on the podcast. You know, I'm gonna try this Memory Palace stuff out. I think
we'll see how it works.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try that now.
Yes, Lancer and
Lancer. Who? So
Jacqueline Kennedy's Secret Service nickname.
I mean. Lancer
and blank
Lancet. I mean, like, I can't think of like what they call them. Dancer and Lancer,
Prancer, Lancer, Prancer.
I don't know. And Vixen.
Oh, gosh, this is embarrassing.
How about if they just put L at the beginning?
I don't know if anybody expects people to have, you know, the name Secret Service nicknames off the top of their head, but it's interesting.
We're
trivia.
We're supposed to know every answer to every question.
That's the ideal. Forever. That's the ideal.
Forever.
You're a trivia host for 12 years. You must know everything.
Like, I forget more than I.
Yeah.
You know. Ever
We've talked many times on this show about how dumb we are when it comes to so much.
Yep. Every answer you get wrong, you got to take a little bit more of that experience off. So if you start with 12 years, each question is worth at least a month.
There you go.
Well, I've got 12 years chronologically, but only about 10. I stuck.
I can't even throw a guess out there. That's a good one.
I feel like this is a good one for the older crowd.
Did you have
too.
Anybody get this right?
Maybe one team. You want me to check? I can check, actually.
No, it's fine.
While you're sussing.
Because he said to his Lancer. So it seems like it would be something that would be like the cohabitant of a Lancer, but I don't know what a Lancer is.
Isn't that like a...
Someone who... Is that what you call someone who... Dr. Pimple Popper?
This was a 5-pointer that nobody got correct. Okay. So don't feel too bad.
Yeah. I mean, I would just say Lancet. That's the best.
That was an answer that people wrote down, but that is not correct. The correct answer is Lace. Lancer and Lace.
Huh.
Which is alliterative. I don't know if there's a connection necessarily other than just like an elegance, you know, and like a swordsmanship on his part and an elegance on hers and the alliteration. A lot of the presidents will... make alliterative lists for every individual in the family. So, you know, they'll pick a letter to start, and then the wives
go
the children,
all the way down.
Yeah, all based on
lollipop.
That. Which seems like it could get confusing in the earpiece. Like, you'd think you would want totally different things.
Yeah,
like right. you don't even have a word. You're just a number. You're just a number.
Right.
All right.
All right. One.
Okay. Here we go. Mm-hmm. What is the number one cause of death in national parks?
In national parks?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I hear stories of people falling all the time in the news. It's always somebody fell off a cliffside. Somebody fell into a pool of hot lava. Somebody fell into a geyser.
Especially being on these cell phones these days.
Those selfie sticks are killing people, huh?
Selfie suicide tonight at 11.
You do have one of those stripper voices.
Yeah.
I like it.
You're listening to the No-No.
Attacked by bears?
Yeah, I mean, that was my second thought. But does that happen more frequently than people just falling? I keep on falling in two hot geysers. Taking selfies. For the gram.
I love it. So much fun.
Falling.
We're going to go with falling.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
Drowning. There happens
after
to be rivers.
After falling into the river.
There you go. Well, that's the thing.
What was the cause of death?
I mean, maybe they stepped into the river and then drowned, you know. But, okay, I mean, I'll just have to take that as a statistic.
Well, I was thinking, you know, like, national parks, like Ginny Springs is probably a national park. When people think of a state park. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, like, when you think of parks, you think of, like, Yellowstone. But there are also ones that are...
Yeah. There's, what, about 100 or so?
Yeah, the other weird thing about national parks, it has the most disappearances in national parks. Have you ever missing 411? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy documentaries. National parks.
Mm. All right.
It's a big area out there. You know?
Here's your next question.
Yeah.
In what year was the Sega Genesis released in North America?
I'm so mad at you.
Oh, gosh.
Because this is that shit that I should know.
So I remember...
I wanted one.
I was in, I want to say, middle school? And I had the option of a Super Nintendo and a Sega. And I chose a Sega, and I chose wrong. Because Nintendo was so much better.
I did have a Super Nintendo. So I wanted an NES, but I was told you have to save up your own money. And by the time it took me to save up the money, that Super Nintendo came out. I was like, yes! So
the first
that.
Year,
which one came out first, though? Do you remember?
I think they came out all about the same time.
Cutthroat, same day.
Yeah, no, right? I'm probably gonna be complete. 1994 just popped into my head, but I really don't remember if the system was out before I was in middle school or whatnot. I don't even know how old I am right now. Like, I'm just trying to
where am I?
You're 12 in trivia years.
Yeah, so 33 now. So when I was in middle school, I can't.
Yeah. All right, so I just turned 34, so we're about the same, and that sounds about right. 94, I would almost say maybe 93, like a little earlier. Takes a second to catch on, and you know, I don't think I heard about it. I think I saw one first, so it was already out on the market by the time I saw it. So I don't know, man. If like 94, let me see here. I'm 93. I want to say I was in second or third grade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
And I'm young. I'm on the younger side, though. So
I thought I was in middle school. I might have been in elementary school, maybe fifth grade or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my friend had a Sega, and like my next door neighbor friend had a Sega, and yeah, a whole summer just in front of that TV.
Oh yeah,
you know, playing Sonic, Green Hill Zone. By the way, if you ever do a video game theme song bonus round like I did, the Sonic the Hedgehog theme, very short.
Is it?
Give your players a heads up. Like, this is about 7 seconds.
I would know it, though, if I heard it.
That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So are we saying 93? 93?
Yeah, I'm good with either of those. I'm airing towards 93. All right.
93. We're going with you this time.
Okay. Now I'll pull us away from the right answer. 1993.
The correct answer is 1989.
Ooh, the Sega? Even earlier.
1989, so Sega Genesis.
The NES came out in 1985. And the Genesis 4 years later. So that had to be before the Super Nintendo. Okay. So I have a chemistry question for you guys. Listen carefully. While its official name... is magnesium iron silicate hydroxide. What is the common name of the mineral that was first discovered in and named after Cummington, Massachusetts? So this mineral was first discovered in Cummington, Massachusetts. It is named after it. And its official name is magnesium iron silicate hydroxide. What is the common name for this mineral?
What is the long-term name or long name of it?
Magnesium iron silicate hydroxide, and the city it was named after and discovered in is Cummington, Massachusetts.
Cummington or Covington?
Cummington.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be something easy. Is it something we would like just know?
I feel like you could probably intuit the answer from the information that's in the question.
Magnesium.
Iron.
Iron.
Silicate. Hydroxide.
What was the town again?
Cummington, Massachusetts.
Sounds dirty.
It does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Cummington. Come. For someone who hates the periodic table, sure are asking a periodic table question.
Just to be honest, I love this question, actually. I think you guys will like the answer as well.
It's a mineral.
Yes.
I'm at a loss for words. I can't even throw anything at it.
And it's named after the town?
It is.
Cummington, Massachusetts.
Say it slow, Mark.
So it's this kind of podcast time.
Put some Isaac Hayes in the background.
Wow. So do we have any guests to this mineral?
Cummesium.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Cummesium.
Unfortunately, that's not correct. The correct answer is coming tonight. Coming tonight.
Oh my God. Yeah.
After coming to sure Massachusetts,
this is really what it's called. Is this a real trivia question? Is this
coming tonight?
I thought you'd like it.
Coming tonight.
Like, he doesn't believe me. That's okay. I definitely double checked it because I was like, "Is this a joke?" Yes, it is a joke, but it's also real.
You checked it on incognito mode on your Google.
Okay.
If you get with me, you will be magnesium iron silicate hydroxide. There's your new team name.
That's amazing.
Oh, God.
All right. So,
I can't believe you made me snort on
No, it should be your turn now. He has a drowning, right?
No, it's
no. It's him.
It's me.
Because you just went.
Mm-hmm.
We're going
Why
this way.
Why don't you understand?
I don't know. I always get the order mixed up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He doesn't live here.
All right. So, this is a current event question.
Ooh.
Tumblr was bought for $1.1 billion by Yahoo.
Shit. I was hoping that's what you would ask. I was like, Yahoo.
It was just sold for how many millions of dollars? I can make it multiple choices.
$1.1
billion.
Billion.
Mm-hmm. How many millions of dollars did it just sell?
Are you going to the nearest, like, number?
We'll just go for, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I think I know this.
It was in the news the other day.
It was bought by Automatica.
Okay.
The same company behind WordPress.
Right. That's right. I remember this now.
Just through back channels, not that I was looking up this particular, they are not lifting their porn ban.
I'm
not saying I was looking at that particularly, but
I have a t-shirt. Just some
information.
I have a t-shirt that is obsolete now that says Tumblr is my favorite porn site.
Mm.
That was designed, by the way, by iHeartJLP, if you want to check out his other shirts. Great graphic artist and designer out of Georgia, next to the State Farm arena.
Just right, was.
Yeah.
And we should also mention that he designed and printed one of the shirts that was used in Stranger Things.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
You didn't?
No.
So he designed one of the shirts that Eleven wears.
Oh, cool.
When they're inside the grocery store or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing like a yellow and black shirt. He designed that and printed it.
He designed that shirt?
Yes.
How did I miss this? That's crazy.
I don't know.
That's
awesome. He also designed a shirt for the Atlanta Braves.
Right. I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's making moves.
And he does a bunch of stuff of Montreal, mm-hmm. who are a great band. I think I remember seeing a friend of mine on Facebook post that it was sold for $3 million.
Wow. So it gained value.
Lost value. $1.3 million
to $3 million.
Did you say $3 million?
$3 million.
When you were saying singular numbers, 1, 2, 3, I was thinking my initial guess was like $270 million.
It's like a 98% or 99% loss.
Yes.
Wow. See, that's what happens when you take the porn away, ladies and gentlemen. You take the porn away.
Well, that's what's surprising to me, that they didn't say they were going to bring the porn back.
Well, the whole thing that happened was
the
kitty porn started getting on there, like the kitty pedophilia stuff, and then they nuked the whole concept of Tumblr, and that's why it banned everything.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they're avoiding that 4chan stigma.
They were giving the stigma a hard time because they weren't doing enough, but it's like, well,
they just hit it with a smash hammer. Like,
yeah, they threw the baby out with the bath. When you talk about kid porn, I guess it's probably not a good
time. Jesus.
But yeah, so I'm going to say I'm going to say 3 billion, right? 3 million?
Sure.
That is correct.
Okay. Wow. Good memory, Mark.
I just happened to be friends with a bunch of nerds on Facebook, and my friend Kane posted something saying that, you know, mentioning that, I think. And I was holy shit.
Another funny story about that, like the part owner of Big Ten, when I asked his question, he's like, nope, you're wrong. I bet you. It's like, all right, what do you think it is? He's like, 3 billion. I'm like, you are incorrect. It's million. He's like, I bet you $100. I'm like, I will take your $100.
Nice.
And I took his $100.
Hey!
You make a bet, man. You make a bet. I'd have to pay up if I were wrong.
Right.
What, like, when you're wrong on a question and you have your audience yell at you, how do you handle it?
So it depends on it depends on where it happens. Mm-hmm. If it's like right after I read it, I'll verify what they're saying, and then I'll make a correction. And actually, this week, the Lone Rangers, I asked a question of who's the most winningest WWE wrestler, who is now now the mayor of a Florida town. And immediately a guy came up and he was like, Tennessee. And I was like, what? And he said, it's not Florida, it's Tennessee. And I was like, this man sounds confident. I thought it was Florida, but I'll double check it right now. And I checked it, and it was Tennessee. So I ended up giving him his team a bonus point. Mm. You know, it's a negligible amount, but like you saw last night, a team won by a single point. So sometimes it makes a difference. So if it's before I read the answers and all that stuff, I'll do something like that. If it gets so bad as I've already given out the prize and I have to go take a gift card away from a team that didn't win because of some mistake that I made, I'll usually try to like at least buy them a beer or some small thing, you know, to try and make up for the mistake. But everybody makes mistakes, you know, it's bound to happen sooner or later. What about you? Do you have any advice on how to handle something like that?
It just depends on how it depends on how they come at me. You know, if they're like yelling, I have had that before. They're like, you're wrong. It's like, oh, it's okay. I'm wrong my entire life. I'm used to this.
There was a, oh man.
I can point him to the podcast too.
Yeah. The last time I saw you do trivia, I don't know if you remember this. I had walked in to Hurricane.
Oh my God, that day.
And you were getting fucking bombarded.
Mm-hmm.
And you were so professional. And I was so impressed because I, you know, at Nice Guys, being that it's 9 o'clock and later, and I know the owners really well and everything, and I know most of the players really well, I can be like, just shut the fuck up. But you were like handling so well. You were like, everybody just sit down, give me a minute, I just need to go through this. And still people are getting up with their answer sheets, shaking them in your face.
Oh no.
Oh, it was the Excel spreadsheet
that I use. Yeah. Somehow all the formulas got messed up.
Oh, I've been
there.
So
I'm trying to fix things, and people are yelling because these people, they'll keep track of their toys. And I mess up all the time, especially the Hurricanes, where sometimes you'll have 18 teams playing and stuff. So, so they'll come at me. And then,
which is fine. We want it to be a fair game.
Oh, yeah.
I think 100%. Every quizmaster, if you see something, say something. Yeah, that's how we do it.
All right, who's next?
You just went, so it is my turn. I have so many questions, I don't know which one to pick. Let's go with this one. What are the three ingredients in a margarita? Now, this is not including ice, and it is not including salt. If you Google, or if you go on Wikipedia, it says these are the three main ingredients for a classic margarita.
Classic margarita. Tequila.
Yeah, lime juice.
Mm-hmm. And then sour mix?
I believe so. That sounds about right. And I used to bartend, so if I'm anywhere wrong, I'm going to put my head in the ground.
I would put all three of those things in a glass and drink it. Mm-hmm. I would. And I would call it a margarita.
Yes.
So
tequila, lime juice.
And sour mix.
And sour mix.
Better hang that head. Uh-oh. The correct answer is tequila, lime juice, and orange liqueur.
What?
Triple sec or orange liqueur.
Hmm. Okay.
I guess. I don't know about this one. Yeah, listeners out there.
I checked with Skyler. I asked Skyler, and he answered correctly.
Did he? I must have been a bad bartender then.
I did have some people say that it depends and stuff, but like I said, when I was talking to Greg about it, because he for a while he was bartending, and I looked it up on a couple different sites, and a couple people said like simple syrup or something like that. I gotcha. But
was that one of the questions where everyone's like, no?
No, I had a couple. I had like 3 or 4 teams get it right out of like 10 teams. So it was, yeah.
Okay, so I mean, if we're going by Wikipedia rules, those are the 3 ingredients that are listed right in the first sentence, basically. So,
and then there's like a million different variations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of the tough thing. Like, I think I asked a question of how do you make a certain cocktail at Gather, and the bartender Heather came up and she was like, "That's not how we make it."
Mm-hmm. That's what the way with shots too. Have you ever asked like, "I want a pink Starburst," and like, "What's in it?" Nobody knows what's in all this right. kind of stuff. Every bar is right. different.
They're all different. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll ask you one more question since that one is iffy at best.
Oh, no. It's a fine question mark.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. Oh, you can ask another one, though. Let's do it.
Minsk is the capital of what Eastern European country? I love the word Minsk.
Yeah.
That NSK, Minsk.
Wow. Someone has something close to Russia, right? Because
it was I left that part off.
Yeah.
To make it a little harder for it, but it was part of the the Russian Empire.
Yeah, the only reason why I know that is because I play StarCraft, General Minsk, and he has a Russian accent.
So could it be the Ukraine?
I mean, they always try to take that one back, right?
I think it is partially taken back. It's been annexed. So yeah, it's touch and go with them. You know, sometimes it's Russia, sometimes it's not.
Iffy.
You know. Right now it's part of Russia, but the Ukrainian peninsula. I'm trying to think of, there's a tip of my tongue, but it's like a movie that's like from something to Minsk. It was like maybe a Woody Allen movie or something like that, but that doesn't have any geographic information in it. So I should just dump that.
It's Ukraine. I like Ukraine. I mean,
that's my best guess. And then it's just going to be descending things I'm less confident
about. Like what else is around there? Do we even know? I don't think I even know.
Transylvania.
Romania. Mm-hmm.
Latvia.
But that might be going to
Latvia. Minsk, Latvia. I can't even say it.
No.
Minsk, Ukraine. Did you say country?
I did.
I don't even know if Ukraine is a country right now. It could be some. Would you consider Ukraine a country?
Yes.
You would? Let's go with it then.
All right.
It's incorrect. The correct answer is, of course, Belarus.
Minsk,
Belarus.
I like how Belarus sounds.
Me too. I really like the combination of Minsk, Belarus. It's got a good flow to it.
100%.
All right. Let's take another little quick break.
Let's do that.
And then we'll be back for some final questions. Back. No missed corrections this week, right, Mark?
Yes.
No rate my questions.
Perfect again.
Yeah. Except we did get, I guess there was one from Elise. She said that Dallas selected one of the categories that we said that she selected, the Bob Dylan of our time, referring to Conor Oberst. That was Dallas's assessment of Conor Oberst, not Elise's. For clarification, in case anybody needs to know. That was it. So we won't do the theme. We already did the theme for the no notes. So don't forget, you can write us in one of those nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Juan, you got a question for us?
All right, since we're talking about booze.
Yeah.
Mm.
In our break.
Yes.
As you do.
Which tops the list of best alcohol brands in the world in 2019? Once again, which tops the list of best alcohol brands in the world for 2019?
So when you say best, this is just like an industry standard, like a lot of people consider it to be the best, or is it like an average of a bunch of lists?
I'm going to say a bunch of lists.
Popularity, and maybe sales?
Yeah, sales, popularity.
Okay.
Everything, the whole shebang.
White Claw?
Oh, God.
The new kid on the block.
It's selling like a motherfucker.
The fourth horseman of the apocalypse.
People are buying it in droves.
Mm-hmm. I like Truly better, but...
I really think that there is some subliminal, or not subliminal, but undercover White Claw marketing going on, because the memes are just too crazy, you know, like... They've hired memesters to put out White Claw memes.
Yeah,
like
the one with the Toy Story, the claw. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody actually got a tattoo of that on their leg. Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. And here we are talking about it.
Exactly.
It's not White Claw.
So that's why it's working.
No. Mm-hmm. My two guesses would be Patron and Bacardi. Now, Patron, they think so highly of themselves that they don't even allow themselves to be called tequila, right?
I don't know. All I know is...
You have to legally refer to them as Patron. You can't call it what
like
it is.
Mexico, Patron's like mm-hmm. the bar tequila.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Well, I'm saying this is their opinion of themselves. Mm, no, you know, this is their marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just like Miller calls itself the right. champagne of beers. Or right. is it Miller?
No, that's High Life, right? Mm-hmm. Miller High Life?
Oh,
Miller
yeah. High Life, What's the champagne of beers?
That is Miller High Life.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Juan, I feel like, is steering us away from Patron. So he doesn't seem like he's using this as an underhanded tactic.
So we're going with the best sold.
And popularity.
Mm-hmm. So I guess this is just recognized across the board. Bacardi, right?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, you've got like fucking Jack Daniels. Like, it's like a staple.
Remember, I said the world.
Mm-hmm. That's very American.
Mark has those eyes, those thinking
now,
eyes.
Now, you're not talking about... you're talking about a company, right? You're not talking about a kind of drink. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think it's a whiskey. I just don't. I think that's an American thing, you know?
What
it's
about
growing
vodka?
In popularity, but... Catel One.
Catel One.
They're not even... you know, that's... Well, I was thinking that Patron style vodka. Slammed.
Dis and dismissed.
Yep.
You guys know the name.
Yeah.
So it's nothing obscure.
No.
Crown Royal.
You just said no whiskey.
I know, but now I'm thinking of namesakes, you know.
Well, that's what I'm
thinking.
That's
another perceived class, because it comes in the bag. The purple velvet bag.
You said liquor?
Alcohol.
Alcohol brand.
Beer?
The best? So Budweiser is the best alcohol brand?
It's best. We're going best selling, right?
You said selling and popularity, which makes me think it's... And you said tops like the
Budweiser,
list, right?
Yeah, tops the list. A best alcoholic
brand. Like Budweiser
brand
is fucking a huge brand.
I would just feel so sad. I will feel so sad if the answer is Budweiser.
I do feel so sad. Fireball? No. Jägermeister?
No. Well, no. Best? Jägermeister! Okay.
You need to separate best from best-selling. Creed has sold millions of albums. Not best, but best-selling, maybe. Like, you can't keep... They're not mutually exclusive.
Okay, so Budweiser is maybe the best-selling beer, but I don't think anybody would say that's the best alcohol
I don't think anyone
brand.
Drinks Budweiser outside of the United States.
Yeah.
So we said the world. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just trying to make a line in the sand that we're not talking about just, like, good.
You walk into a bar in Tokyo... Can you drink in Tokyo?
I'm sure.
No.
With all the crazy...
It's a dry town.
I know they're very hard line on drugs over there, but alcohol's probably good to go.
Well,
I mean, they have Santori whiskey.
See, this is what's short-circuiting my brain, is that I think we said before that the most drank thing in the world, alcohol-wise, is wine.
But that's not a brand.
That's my problem, is that you'd have to think about what brand specifically.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any wine brand that's selling a liquor brand.
Boone's Farm.
Bacardi.
White Ridge.
You want to go with Bacardi?
Yes.
All right, we're going to go with Bacardi.
Smirnoff
vodka.
Vodka. Wow.
Well, it's not isn't like that I crazy? Mean, we said Kettle One, but we didn't really.
No, no. That you said Kettle One. I was trying to bring us
the
down
the Royal Wee. The Royal Wee.
So I was trying to bring us down the road of vodka is interesting because it has so many different flavors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is Smirnoff the one of those places that does like fucking whipped cream vodka?
Yep.
And,
yep.
Because
a new color every flavor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Smirnoff. It's like walking into a frozen yogurt shop.
It's a great question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Here is my last question of the night. Who you released
the night?
The night.
Like the night is near.
The night day. Who released the 1972 album Superfly? It was the soundtrack.
Superfly.
For the blaxploitation film Superfly.
Superfly.
You seem to have some knowledge of this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who it is?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. That's good because
there's only one singer that could be Superfly, and that would be Curtis Mayfield.
That's correct.
Yep.
I had no team get it right, I don't think.
Really? Oh, man, I should have come out. I should have come out. Always
you
feels good.
You would have been a contender.
I tell when people, you know, players are like, terrible night, you know, I only got a handful right. I'm like, well, you know, we're writing these questions for teams of seven. You know, that's like our perfect team size. If you go above seven, you got to split into two. I actually made Tom's team split up last night.
He was telling me.
Yeah.
That's another, like, interesting thing about splitting up teams. Mm-hmm. I'm not ever been a big proponent of splitting up teams because in a business aspect, if you have a team that comes every week and their family comes from out of town, are you going to tell them no? You can't sit with your family?
I will try and actually try to invoke a spirit of competition in the family. Like, guys versus girls, let's do this, you know? And actually, last night, like, Tom was giving me a little pushback. He was like, really? And I was like, come on, just split up. I was just saying, just split up, just split up. You guys can sit together, you know? It's just two different answer sheets. You guys can huddle up, and then when you're done with your answers, you can collaborate again. But it creates such an imbalance if you have a team of two and they're regulars and they come every week. And then there's a team of, you know, I have like an office that comes and they usually have to be at least two or three teams sometimes, you know, and if they were all teaming up and they're all computer programmers, you know, that have their own interests and they deal with information all the time, it just gets to be too much. So I just try to have a firm seven. Even when we started, I think I had six or something or eight.
Ridiculous stuff that was like, a hard seven, but eight's okay. Yeah. And I was like, then it's not a hard seven.
And when you said that, I said, I have to be firm on this from now on. Like, that was my wake-up call.
I've always had problems with like, when, like, the venue starts trying to implement those things, then all the teams that are playing are getting mad at, like, let's say these two teams have, like, nine people. They want to invite people. It's like, no, we're just trying to grow the night. Yeah. So it's just, I find it so difficult once you implement something like that I try to avoid arguments between teams and stuff like that.
Well, this is kind of the same conversation that, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but the conversation that Lee and I have had about cell phones, where my argument's always been, you get off of an 8 or 10 hour day at work, you go to a bar to sit down and play trivia, and now you've got someone telling you what you can and can't do on your phone.
Well, like, you're addicted to your phone, Mark, so it's different for you.
Well, yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are. And so, I mean, I don't think it's just a me thing.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, I know you've come to my trivia after we've talked about it on the podcast, and I see you on your phone.
Right.
You know?
And like, I mean, I think a lot of people, like, being someone who has to deal with phone calls and text messages from my employees all the time and things like that, you know, to an extent, you want to be, like, trying to convince people to stay and to want to do it rather than, you know, do things like, you know, whether or not trivia is worth, which I'm fine with you not having people on their phone.
Mindset about it is just like, if there's anything that needs your immediate attention in the next 15 to 20 minutes, you shouldn't be trivia. Maybe you need to be somewhere where you need to be on call. You know, if it can't wait 15 or 20 minutes, like if there's like a family emergency or something along those lines, go be with your family member. You know, like it's just the amount of time that I'm asking to be away from your phone is just so small, you know? But you know, it takes different strokes, different folks. Some people appreciate different levels of involvement in trivia. But for me, I guess it's like kind of like that fantastic documentary that we both love. I like Killing Flies, Shopson's Deli. Rest in peace, Kenny Shopson. He ran a restaurant in New York for a number of years, and he had several crazy rules, you know, ostentatious rules or what is it? Audacious rules. Like, no parties larger than four. Don't come in with five people and think that you're going to be able to sit at two tables and talk to each other. Just shit that wouldn't fly. But the restaurant was so small that they couldn't keep up with demand. So they instituted these rules just to kind of streamline everything. And the people that go there know what the rules are before they sit down and have a meal. Know what you're ordering before you come in. There's a menu outside. Don't sit down and look at our 800 item menu. It's a hard rule set, but the people when they go in on it and they agree to it, beautiful things happen. It's the best food.
That's why you do this, because like you have so many people that want to play your trivia. You had to thin
them
out.
No. But I'm just saying, establishing a rule set early, you know, and being firm on it. You know,
I was just talking about as far as like breaking up. Like Juan's point is. Yeah. I am here to make for a big night. And so it's an interesting thing. And, you know, it's funny because when Jamie and I came and Shane and I came to play trivia, I mean, we were playing against one team of like five or six, another team of, I think, seven.
Yeah. It's not a guarantee. You're not guaranteed.
No. But I mean, we knew we were going into possibly going into a place where people were going to be playing with larger teams, where it was basically going to just be Jamie and I. Shaney's not really interested in trivia. So, you know, it's like, well, we know we're kind of like going up against Goliath here.
That's the more reason for you to recruit and bring people in.
For sure. Right. That's the hope, is that you're going to get these nice big teams.
But you understand, with a team of two, you know, you guys are getting that 111 score. If people see you on your phones, it looks bad. You know, the quizmaster has to say something, basically. My hands are tied.
Give him the nudge.
Yeah. I've got a last question for you guys. Now, this, I think, is something that not a lot of people know, and maybe not even a lot of trivia masters, quiz masters. I didn't even know this until I looked it up, but I think this is a staple, and I'm glad the three of us can sit together here and talk about it. Maybe you guys know. I don't know. But a murder of crows, a gaggle of geese, a prickle of porcupines. These classifications, which we've talked about on the podcast before, are known as terms of what? And the answer that I'm looking for is a word of French origin that traces its origins to hunting in the Middle Ages. Terms of what? That would be a murder of crows, a gaggle of geese, a prickle of porcupines, a pod of dolphins, a mess of iguanas.
Flamboyant flamingos?
Yep. A rally of octopuses. Not octopi, not a word, not a real word. I had an argument this week at Burying Me with somebody. I said octopuses, and she was like, octopi. And I was like, nope. She's like, no, it is.
It's a hard no.
Not a word.
Trying to tell you.
But then again, Prii is a word, so for multiple Priuses. So what do I know?
So it's a word of French origin.
Yes, it translates to hunting in French. And it traces its origins to the Middle Ages.
Silence is golden right now. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to think.
So I'm trying to kind of formulate in my head the kind of answer you're looking for. So it's the act of giving a group of a certain animal.
Mm-hmm. The classification of a group. We usually say the term for a group of animals, you know, we use group of animals is what we say.
Right.
But the real term for this is terms of...
So I know that you were talking with Elise about groups of animals that start with R.
Well, she posted on your wall and asked, and you ignored her. Yeah, I
didn't see it until too late.
And I actually happened
to... Did you say I ignored her?
You did. You totally ignored her. That's why I felt like I had to step in. No, but I happened to see that, and coincidentally, I had one on my quiz already before she even made that post. So I just said, if you're looking for this kind of trivia... It's trying to take a little of your business, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know? Wow.
Okay. Come on over to Bury Me tonight. They happen at different times. She could have gone to both. I don't think... Did she go to yours?
Yes.
Oh, see? She didn't come to mine, so...
Oh, well.
Didn't work. That's what you get for being little, like... My little scheme didn't even work. Yeah, so what are these called?
I have no idea. I feel like I've said that a lot in this podcast. I have no idea.
It's fine. I mean, it's very humbling, you know, to host the podcast and sometimes to be a guest on it, because that's just the nature of trivia. We've said this before, but just because we're quiz masters does not mean that we have, you know, encyclopedic knowledge in our head of everything.
What does Rochambeau mean? I think that's when you do rock, paper, scissors.
I thought that was like when you kick each other in the nuts until somebody gives up. Is that from South Park? It happened in real life, though, in my life. That was what we called Rochambeau.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
That just sounds, Southwest Florida things.
It sounds very aggressive.
Seriously.
Like, this is what we're due today. Yeah. So, okay, I'm in. I'll see
I'm
you.
Never going to play that ever. French word. Coming from a French word. Mm-hmm.
So if you're to look up, and just as a, you know, don't, if you're listening and playing along, I guess you could cheat and look it up, but this is also what it's listed
you're
as.
You're not allowed to be on your cell phone when you're listening to this podcast.
Turn the audio down. Listen to it. Watch the scrub head at the bottom. No, but this is the name of the list on Wikipedia for these terms as well. So if you're a quiz master that's done some research on Wikipedia for these things, you might have come across this phrase. Or if you're looking for a comprehensive list, type this answer in to Wikipedia at the end, and you'll see at least 100, I'd say.
Oh.
It's good trivia mining, you know, which you can memorize, use the memory palace.
French word origin has to do with hunting. R-A-R-E-R-I-R-O. Are you I don't know, a ramshackle? I have no idea.
Yeah, no idea.
A ramshackle. Terms of ramshackle.
Yeah.
No idea. A ramshackle sounds like it would be one of these for something, like a ramshackle of robots.
Enough. Yeah.
We'll get there. If ramshackle's not taken, let's apply that to robots. All right. The correct answer is terms of venery. Terms of venery. Venery is hunting. According to linguisticator William Twitty, huntsman for King Edward II, composed a series of essays called L'Art de Venerie, The Art of Hunting in Anglo-Norman French. It was composed in the early 14th century. The text sees a huntsman answer questions put to him by an apprentice. In the course of this dialogue, the text notes three different terms for animal droppings, three terms for herds of various game, four separate terms for the wild boar, and six for the stag. This is the first documented time that people were grouping animals like this and saying, you know, what they were. Later in the 15th century, the Book of St. Albans was written, which contained approximately 70 names for groups of animals. The book was said to be a type of gentleman's guide, and it was written by a woman, Dame Juliana Berners. And about 100 years after that, in the mid-16th century, that text was edited and commented on, and many of those terms are what we would use today on that list.
That is awesome.
So, terms of venery.
Venery.
Terms of venery. Huh. So if you're saying what is, you know, a murder of crows, that is, murder is a term of venery for the crow animal.
That is, I'm going to probably might steal that one too.
Yeah. Huh. It's like I said, that's like a quintessential trivia question, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain things you probably heard last night at trivia. I asked about winningest team in the NFL. Like, there's just some things that I think, like, if you play trivia, you should know that, because it's going to come up probably sooner or later.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if that one will or not, but it's good. This is good to know. So, all right. I think that wraps it up, right?
I think that does it. What a great episode. Thank you again, Juan.
Thank you guys for having me. I had a great time. This was absolutely awesome.
Yeah. Lots of, you know, insight into your world of running your own entertainment company and the trivia aspect of it in particular. And thanks for just hanging out and answering some questions and throwing some our way, too.
You guys were awesome.
Yeah. We'll have to have you on again soon. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. You can check out No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at 7 p.m. at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Tuesdays at Gather for Ladies Night Trivia in Cape Coral. That also starts at 7 p.m. Wednesdays were Bury Me Brewing Company in Fort Myers, again at 7 p.m. You can catch Quizmaster Mark Davis.
That's me.
At Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesdays at 9, but not this week.
Kristen not Herman. This
week. You're going to get Kristen. For your quiz mistress on Wednesday at 9 p.m. At Nice Guys Pizza. Then again, we're at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar each and every Thursday evening in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30 p.m. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest, by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking on the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Speaking of which, thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Tommy from The Electric Mud. Thank you to Tim from San Diego, a member of the trivia team going by Pat's Garden Service. Good luck to you guys on your trivia this week.
Tommy stopped by my trivia this week. His team name was Sorry We Tried.
Did they, though?
A little bit. Kind of not.
Thanks to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. Thanks for filling in this week, too, Kristen. And thanks to our proverbial light keepers, Dylan, Justin, Cooper, Lise, Aaron, Sarah, Rena, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, John, and Gil.
It's Gil.
Big thanks to our Rumpel Snailskins also, Manu, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C., and Michael J. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or a no note, as the case may be. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We have a Facebook group that you can check out. Just search for the No Nonsense Trivia podcast on Facebook and you can chat with me and Mark and our other listeners. Juan will send you an invite to that. Check that out. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service. 5 stars only. Please.
No less.
And no more.
Yeah.
Unless it goes above 5.
Cap it off at 5. No, no.
5 either way.
Even if they change it to 6, we want 5 now. We can't get off this train now.
I'm with you.
All right.
5s only. Until next time, no nonsense listeners. Have a great week.